Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 132 of Beyond the Supernatural. We have both a lot and only a little to talk about today. It's kind of a paradox, because normally, when I open up a new page of Beyond the Supernatural, I am presented with just a mess of tangled spaghetti that I gotta get through, so that no matter how big or how small the portion, I just gotta spin that fork for a good 15 minutes just to get it into a state where you can fit it in your mouth. Yes, in this metaphor, I am feeding you spaghetti. That's how I think of our relationship. Today, it's not spaghetti. It's two delightful little meatballs. I don't have to twirl these things around. There's a lot of substance here, there's a lot of meat, but I can just pop these motherfuckers right in my mouth, or your mouth. So, I don't know, this might be a short episode. Let's just eat these meatballs. Number one, let me get something out of the way that was pointed out to me by a listener, and comes originally from someone who I don't know or interact with, but I want to credit them anyway because apparently they're the original source for this observation. Listener Kitty, at Kitty of Azeroth on Twitter, contacted me to let me know that this page contains a true rarity in the Palladium system. According to James LaFlamme, which is spelled J-A-Y-M-Z, last name L-A, capital F-L-A-M-M-E, James LaFlamme, I guess. This is an individual who is the admin of the unofficial Fans of Palladium Books Games Facebook group. Per James, quote, "I have found a whopping 4 actual references to a skill check, and only 3 that actually call it as such," end quote. And James is referring here to the core books for all the Palladium games, it seems. James says that 2 actual descriptions of a skill check that explain what a skill check is by name are in the Mechadroid Invasion trilogy. The other 2, one of them is in Rift's Ultimate Edition, and the other one is here on this page in Beyond the Supernatural 2. James notes in the original quote that he has not checked the Palladium Fantasy Revised core book, so there might be one there as well. But yeah, skill checks are a huge part of this game. They're a huge part of what you would be expected to do, more so really in games like Beyond the Supernatural or say Ninjas and Super Spies than in Rifts or Heroes Unlimited, where you've got, you know, big outlandish powers and lots of subsystems and maybe skills take a back seat. In Ninjas and Super Spies, say an espionage game, I would expect you to be doing tons of skill checks, but apparently nowhere in that game does it exactly describe what a skill check is. I am neither shocked that it never tells you, nor am I shocked that I missed it. If you haven't listened to season 1 of MDC, truly Ninjas and Super Spies is an absolute mess. Like, I love it, but Heroes Unlimited and Beyond the Supernatural cannot compare to the absolute organizational mayhem of Ninjas and Super Spies. So, like, it's plausible to me that I never noticed that the core mechanic of the game is not described. But yeah, it, you know, as a rare treat, here in Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, we get to know what a skill check is. I'm not going to bother quoting at length. It's basically what you would expect. It does specify here that the per-level bonuses to skills, like a skill will be described as, you know, 30% plus 5% per level of experience or whatever, that bonus per level starts applying at level 2, not level 1. So that's a good thing to know that's easily missed. It specifies that if you roll equal to your skill, that counts as rolling under. It still counts as a success. But yeah, this is really notable mainly for just finally telling us what we're supposed to be doing with all these skills that we're writing down. And guess what? That's it. You just ate the meatball. One meatball down, one meatball to go. We're moving right along. We might have time for gelato. Who knows? Meatball number 2 on this page is an illustration in the upper right-hand corner, just as the character creation section begins. Now, I am very excited to be getting into the character creation section. I'm excited. You should be excited. But these are all rules, right? What we're about to see are words and systems, neither of which clearly are the specialty of the folks at Palladium. It's not necessarily going to convey the feel of Beyond the Supernatural specifically or role-playing in general. What is it to be a player character in an RPG party? That question is exquisitely answered by the illustration on this page. You can check it out on the Instagram. What we have in this illustration are 5 100% distinct individuals who look like they absolutely should never have met. 5 individuals perfectly chosen for that distinctive RPG feel of they're all standing together, but I can't believe for a second that any one of these people would willingly spend time with any other one of these people. That's how you put together a role-playing game party. Truly, it is magnificent. For all the text we're about to get, this picture gives you a sense of what it is to play a character in a role-playing game. Let me just run them down, left to right. First of all, on the left, we got this Porco Rosso-looking motherfucker. He's in a trench coat and a hat. His eyes glowing, that's how you know he's psychic. He's got his hands in his pocket, a cigar in his mouth. His collar is up, like if Sidney Greenstreet had been cast as Rick Blaine. That's what this guy looks like. Super evocative of like a psychic noir detective feel. I mean, he's in an actual trench coat. How much better does it get for trench coat horror than an actual trench coat? If this were just an image of him, then it would be like, okay, I see. I'm meant to play this kind of moody, noir-style investigator of the paranormal. But he's just one guy. Next to him is a woman floating maybe a foot off the ground in skimpy bondage gear and a cross necklace. This is an aesthetic that will be familiar to those who have played a lot of Vampire the Masquerade back in the 90s. There was a period during the art of that game, moving out of the Tim Bradstreet era, like Ghoul : Fatal Addiction, that source book, where it's like gothic BDSM. It's a whole different vibe. No trench coat here. Although honestly, if our man the psychic detective here were as much of a gentleman as his hat would suggest, he would maybe offer his trench coat to this poor woman because she's got to be freezing. But maybe she wouldn't even accept it. She is like on display. I mean, her arms are behind her back, like she's clasping her hands kind of behind her butt. We can't see back there, but she might actually have her arms in one of those arm binder sleeves. Her arms are in that position. And consequently, her shoulders are back. Her tits are, like the rest of her, thrust skyward. She's not hiding anything. She is out here, a proud player character, dressed for the dungeon and not the dragon kind. Just a totally different aesthetic. Then, next to her, we got Mr. Normal, Mr. Normcore here in the middle, dressed in what I would characterize as regular shoes, regular pants, and a regular shirt. He has a regular haircut, but between his hands, he has like a little goopy web of ectoplasm that he's not looking at like, aha, yes, my goopy web of ectoplasm. With this, I shall perform psychic deeds. He's looking at it like, really? All over my hands? Now I gotta go change into my other normal shirt? This is obviously your latent psychic. This is your person who is like a college student learning accounting, or like a manager at Starbucks, and he just happens to have goop powers, and he's just gonna spend a lot of time with a why me look on his face, wishing that he didn't have to spend his whole goddamn weekend on demon stuff. As we reach the middle of the meatball, please marvel at how this is like a completely different appropriate aesthetic to Beyond the Supernatural than either of the two characters we've seen so far. You got the noir aspect of trenchcoat horror, you got like the gothy sexy aspect of trenchcoat horror, and then here in the middle, you've got the regular person swept up in the paranormal version aspect of trenchcoat horror. Next to this goopy schmo, we've got an old woman with a cane who's levitating a book in front of her and turning the pages telekinetically. Obviously more comfortable with her powers, obviously something of an old hand at this, yet not at all an adventurer. Is she noir and moody? No. Is she gothy and sexy? No. But she's also not exactly a regular person. She's an archetypal figure of an elderly wise woman who knows secrets. Sort of a folksy witch or elder archetype. Normally, when you see this kind of character in the wild, in fiction, she's going to be approached by FBI agents who are only beginning to realize that this case is out of the ordinary. Or Sam and Dean Winchester type characters who drive up to her mobile home on an old dirt road to get a little paranormal tidbit from this old woman. Something that's coherent with her aesthetic. You're typically not going to find your mystical wise woman archetype next to a floating goth in bondage gear, except in a role-playing game. That is the magic of our hobby. Finally, on the far right and in the foreground, we got a teenage kid with a backward cap, a band-aid on his face, a shitty goatee, and a skateboard. He's making a little Doctor Strange, Hoary Hosts of Hoggoth hand gesture, and one of his fingers is doing a little psychic sparkle. So he's obviously psychic. He's got like a devil-may-care attitude in his face. He's definitely a cool, rude teen. This is one of those places where if you didn't know better, you would swear this game is from the 90s. Because this little shithead is for sure the spiritual brother of Bart Simpson and Mondo Gecko. He's that kid. Imagine trying to have moody, noir scenes on a foggy pier somewhere with this little shithead skateboarding around on the planks, making an annoying clacking sound echo into the otherwise dramatic night. Imagine trying to play an ethereal, sexy goth floating mystically a foot above the ground and having this little 16-year-old scrub hitting on you. And yet, is this not a valid Beyond the Supernatural vibe? All the way back at the very beginning of the book, we got Thomas Sheridan, the slack-jawed young man who's like investigating the paranormal, man. with his newfangled electronic notebook. This, like, hip teenage psychic for the 21st century thing is definitely part of the DNA of this game. It is part of the vibe. The most wonderful and dumbest thing in this page is how perfectly this picture encapsulates the glory and the doofy incongruousness of the traditional role-playing experience, where five players with different tastes pick up different threads of the aesthetic of the game and come to the table with characters who all pretty much fit the game, but absolutely do not fit one another, and nevertheless travel together in a van or the fantasy equivalent for their whole lives fighting monsters together. It's just so perfect. I would much rather have this illustration than something more coherent in tone or theme, because a picture that felt all noir or all sexy goth would get a little piece of the truth, one ear or one foot of the elephant, but this picture really gets the whole thing. This picture tells you, if you play the kind of weirdos that this book envisions all at once at one table, all of you individually may be moody and cool in your own ways, but together, moody and cool are not really on the menu. Speaking of menus, our meatball main course is over. That's it. This page, it's pretty straightforward. Two wonderful little gems of clarity about what this game is and how it works, each in their own ways. Next time, we're back into the weeds with some material about how attributes work and how they're determined, that is fairly dull and, in fact, recycled. And you know what that means. On MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top-secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.